Well, my name is Philip Gillenbeck. I'm from Guthrie. I would sure appreciate y'all's prayers this morning. I feel like the Lord's given me a little burden for us to leave on, and how I appreciate the presence of the Lord in this place. We have surely been in heavenly places, haven't we, this week? And I feel like the Lord gave me a verse of Scripture in Psalm 31, and one that says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness." You know, that word ashamed means, Lord, don't let me be confounded. Don't let me be ashamed that I trusted in God and that I said I'm making God my all in all, and that I'm making Him my trust. You know, we have been for some time in our world, in the United States and the world as a whole, we have been under a siege, it seems to me. And if there's ever a time the devil's been on a roll, I think he's been on one. There's just been obnoxious and unbelievable things going on every hand, hasn't there? Even among us, it seems like there's been a siege, hasn't there? And yet, we know that when that happens, there's more oil gets poured on the flame. And what we've seen here is a result of that. We've seen the Spirit of the Lord work in ways that's really, really amazing, isn't it? And so we thank the Lord this morning that when the devil gets on a roll, I want to tell you something. God does amazing things. You know, it's not the first time the devil's been on a roll. And I want to look at a few scriptures here. I know that we have, so many times we've read the story of Job, we've heard the story of Job, but I think there's some things maybe the Lord would like for us to get a hold of this morning that just might strengthen us for when we get home. Because I assure you that this heavenly presence that we've had during this meeting, when you get home, Satan's going to contest that. I would say Satan's going to contest that for most of us, if not all of us. But there was a man, and this is Job, the first chapter, and I'm going to read a little bit here and there. I'm going to read some. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east." You know, Job had it pretty nice. Job had it real nice. Now, some of us have had it pretty nice too, haven't we? This man really had it nice. His own words, if you read on over in the 29th chapter, not only did Job have riches above all that were around him, and he was the richest man in the east, and the Lord had blessed him abundantly, and he had a beautiful family and all of those things. But he said in Job 29, this is starting at 21, he said, "Unto me men gave ear." See, Job was deeply afflicted when he said these things, but he remembered what it was like. And he said, "There was a time that men gave ear to me." And he said, "And kept silence at my counsel. After my words, they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them." And if you look on up in the same chapter, he says, "The young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged men arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hand on their mouth." This was the kind of esteem that Job enjoyed. And he says, "The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me, because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless and him that had none to help him. You know, the respect he had was well-founded, wasn't it? He was a man that by his own words, he said, I delivered the poor. And he knew that people respected him because he was respectable. And so Job enjoyed that. He enjoyed that kind of life. You know, we don't live for the respect of people, but all of us enjoy a relationship with other people where there's respect and where there's mutual respect and where we see what God has done. But I want to tell you something. Job's words were not all there was, and people's words was not all that witnessed to Job. God himself witnessed for Job. And if you look in the first chapter of Job, the 8th verse, it says, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Does he not fear you for no reason? I mean, Satan says, You've made a hedge around him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But no wonder Job has such respect for you, God. And it says, But put forth now thine hand. Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. I want to tell you what happened here. And we've all heard this story many times. But let's remember something. The devil went forth to use the best tactics he knew because the Lord had taken the hedge back a little. Okay, you can try Job. You can try him out. And he used a tactic that the military calls shock and awe. And so I looked it up to see what the definition of it was, and what I found was it's a military tactic based on the use of overwhelming power and spectacular displays of force to paralyze the enemy's perception of the battlefield and destroy their will to fight. Now, I know we've sat in heavenly places here. We have soaked up the Spirit of the Lord. We have soaked up the Word of the Lord this week. But I want to tell you, you're going to go back and you're going to face Satan. And the Lord wants us to know, folks, we can not only be overcomers, but we can be more than a victor in this life. And I want to encourage us to go back with the resolve and with the understanding, Satan's going to attack me. You think he's not going to? Of course he's going to. Be ready for it. Be ready. We have some that have gone before us that have set and blazed the path that we can see a little bit about how to fight against this. What was shock and awe? I want to read to you what Satan went out and did his best to do against Job. And in the first chapter of Job, again, we read in verse 13, and it says, And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. I think Job probably handled that pretty good. We see that Job's heart wasn't wrapped up in his things. I think he probably handled that all right. But listen to the rest. And while he was yet speaking, this is the way the devil works. And folks, we need to be prepared. I want to tell you, we have lived in a country, in a land where we have enjoyed peace. We've enjoyed prosperity. We have enjoyed the blessing of being able to be together unhindered for the most part until the last 2 years. Do you know this morning, the devil has plans in his mind. And we need to be aware that there is an imminent attack coming upon us. Don't think he's not going to attack you. Let's be ready for it. Let's understand the devil's tactics a little bit. He uses shock and awe. And when he does that, as the description of it says, as the, excuse me, the definition says, that it's a military tactic, and it's those displays of spectacular force is to paralyze the enemy's perception of the battlefield and destroy their will to fight. I want to encourage us this morning to go home and set our hearts and minds that we will never give up the Lord. Not only will we not give up the Lord, we will not give up our convictions. Not only will we not give up our convictions, we will not give up if everything we have is taken from us. If the shock and awe campaign of the enemy comes against us and it destroys people within our little group and all of that, I want to tell you something. The Lord wants some people that has some things settled in their hearts and in their minds. Those are the people that we follow. Those are the ones that we're going to be standing next to at the judgment. And so, while it says in verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another to him. Another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, you see what was going on here? You think Job wasn't taking all this in? All his wealth was diminishing and vanishing before his very eyes. The very things that he had. But it says, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and thy daughters. We can do all right with the wealth, can't we? Maybe we can handle that. That's just stuff. But folks, when it happens to those we love, then it really bothers us, doesn't it? It can root out our faith if we're not careful. Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. You know, at this point, what is a man going to do? Now his children are taken. All his things are taken, and this all happened in a breath. While one was speaking, the next came, and the next, and the next, and the next. Until everything he had was gone right before his very eyes. Then Job arose, verse 20, and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Amen. Did you hear that?
Yes.
I can't imagine being in this place, but I can imagine the same one that did this will attack me too. And he rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that the way we view our things and our life, folks? That the Lord is the one thing that is important in our life? And all else comes under that. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And so Satan knew that Job's heart was full. By that time, he had to become aware. He's not going to charge God foolishly. He's not going to turn his face and curse God. So he come up with even more. And in verse 2 and verse 4, it says, "And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life." Verse 7, "So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd, and he scraped those boils, and the ashes from all that fell down, and he sat among that. Then his wife said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." You believe the devil would ever tell you that? You better believe it, he will. He will tell you that. I want to encourage us this morning, folks, that we get a grasp on God until we know Him, until He is deep within our soul, until there is nothing, nothing the devil could take from us that we would curse God and die for. And so, we're not serving God for naught, are we? Because at the end of all of that, and here Job was sitting in his ashes, and he had sore boils all over them. I've had some affliction in my day, and I want to tell you what, it can be pretty rough sometimes. But he had these all over him, and he just had all of this happen to him, and he just had his wife tell him, "Curse God and die, Job. Something bad wrong here. Where is God anyway?" You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to have something more than that, doesn't He? And He gave us some examples for us to follow. And let's look back. Let's look ahead, in fact, in Job 13 and 3. And you know what Job said there? There was his comforters accusing him of things. And he said, "Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. I know how I have lived." Job knew what his life was like, didn't he? He had something there. He said, "You all are talking to me. We're talking. But I wish I could talk to the Almighty." And so he said, "I desire to speak to the Almighty." On down in the 15th verse, listen to what he says. "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him." I'm going to maintain my ways before God. And if he slays me, I am going to trust him. And I'm going to serve him. You know, this morning, I know that's not possible within our own strength. But folks, I want to tell you something. These things, Job knew God. I don't know how he knew God like this in the Old Testament times. But he did. And he said, "Though he slay me." You know, he knew what he was saying when he said, "Though he slay me." He just saw all of his sons and daughters die. He just saw all these things happen. And he said, "Well, if he takes my life too, I'm going to still trust him. I'm going to still be there. I'm going to still be in. If he takes my life too, I'm still going to be in there." And so this morning, I don't have a long, long message, but folks, I want to encourage us to go home and put our trust in the Lord and love Him. I'm not talking about a cliche that I trust God. I'm talking about a heart condition that my heart trusts in the living God, that I have found Him to be real, that I have found Him to be all sufficient, that I know He is the Savior of my soul. Do you know, let's look over in Job 23 and 8. It says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." I don't have any feelings. I don't know where God is. I don't know why he's not answering my prayers for deliverance from this. I don't know what's going on. But he says something here. I can't see him. I can't perceive him. He's not on the left hand. He's not on the right. But he says, "He knoweth the way that I take." When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What a resolve. What a resolve. If he takes my life, he can have it. If he leaves me in this affliction, he can have it. I'll come forth as gold. It's going to purify me. The heat, the pressure, the misunderstanding of what is going on here. Why is God not doing what he always did for me? Read Job. It talks like that, doesn't it? He speaks of those things. You know, he remembered the day when all these people respected him. He remembered the day when God blessed him immeasurably until he was the richest man in all the East. He remembered the day when the Lord just seemed like just answered all his prayers. But now, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And so I want to encourage us this morning. Folks, listen, we're not done here, but I just want to encourage us. He knows the way that we take. And I want to tell you, there's some good that comes out of all these things. And we see it in Job's life. He came back and the Lord gave him back more than he had at the start. And he gave him back beautiful daughters. And he gave him back a family, didn't he? He gave him back more than Job ever dreamed could happen. It was the Lord that did all those things. And I want to tell you this morning, set your hand in the Lord's. Follow him where he leads you. If you know what to do, do it at the peril of your life. If you know what to say, say it at the peril of your life. If you know what God's will is. And I want to encourage us this morning, I'm not looking to try to put anything on anybody. I'm just telling you this. Serve the Lord with all your heart. And whatever you know God wants you to do, don't look back. Don't look back to what the cost is going to be, but serve Him with all your heart. Though He slay me, when I'm tried, when I'm done, when I'm out of this fire and this pressure and this heat and all these problems, I'm going to come forth like pure gold. I'm going to come forth a better man than I was before. Unless he slays me, and then I'll be with him in heaven. That's my resolve. And so this morning, let's don't forget those that have went before us. Folks, the Lord wants to give us a lifetime of victory. Not a monarch experience and then it's gone. Not something we come here and set in the presence of many others who know the Lord, and the presence of God comes down and blesses us all together. And we rise upon that crescendo and that hill of glory. It's a blessing, isn't it? I first came here in 1980. And I was 18 years old, or maybe I was 19. Anyway, I came here and I could not believe what was here. Folks, the presence of the Lord, so it melted my heart until I have been here every year it's been possible since then. 2 years we were having children, and that's the only 2 years I have not been here, at least part of the meeting. Folks, we enjoy that, don't we? But I want to tell you, what makes it rich is because people here have served the Lord all year long, and they come back with fasting and prayer and pleading with God, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us. Lord, deal with the unsaved. Lord, heal those that need healed. And I want to tell you, God is God, isn't He? Have we not seen those blessed things happen? I was at an altar of prayer one time, and the Lord healed me instantly of a really bad affliction I had. I want to tell you something. God does those things. I've seen the Lord change things within my heart. I've seen the Lord change things in my mind. I've seen Him renew my strength over and over. And I know you all have the same, many of you. And so this morning, let's don't go back and wilt when the enemy opposes us, because he will. In Romans 5 and 1, I want to look at this because, folks, there's something wonderful that God gives to His people through tribulation and through these things. Job was a man that experienced more than most of us. Probably none of us have ever had anything close to Job's experiences. But I want to tell you, what came out of that is something people have fed on for several thousand years. It was worthwhile, wasn't it? I think Job would look back and say, it was worthwhile. In 5 and 1 of Romans, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace with God this morning? Folks, the Lord's been calling all week long. If you don't have peace with God, you better get it fast, folks. Get it soon. Settle it in your hearts. I'm going to have peace with God in my heart. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, not only do we rejoice in hope, but he says we glory in tribulations also. We might need a change of mindset. We might not need to see our trials anymore as just something of Satan that we just wish we never had. Folks, Paul had a revelation about that, didn't he? And he saw that in the weakness that he had, he found the Spirit of God more rich than before. And so he's writing this. Paul is. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. All this morning, the Lord bless us here today. Let the Holy Ghost settle upon your hearts. Let the love of God be shed abroad in your hearts all year long. The devil's going to challenge it from time to time, isn't he? He's going to want to take away the love of God. He's going to want to take away the Holy Ghost working in your heart and life. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants us to have a mindset that says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When I get out of this trial, I'm going to be more pure gold. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to let the devil browbeat me all the way. But I realize this trial is going to be a blessing because God is going to make it so. Oh, there's a few other verses here and there, folks. Psalm 28 and 6 says, blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Oh, we have a rich heritage, don't we? Of people that we're following. Do you remember we heard about it yesterday? The story in the Bible of the three Hebrew children. Do you remember how Nebuchadnezzar made a statue that was 90 feet tall? Or thereabouts, probably more than that actually. But this here, I don't know how tall that is, but I'm going to guess it's around 30 feet. It was 90 feet tall. And he called them all before them and he said, you're going to have to bow down and worship this thing. And folks, I want to tell you, I don't know what we're going to be required to bow down and worship in the future. But we have found surely that people are not content for us to be us and them to be them. They want you to bow to the same low places, the same false gods, the same things in the world. And so Nebuchadnezzar told them, he said, whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. I want to tell you, we should expect a burning fiery furnace. We don't know what is going to come our way, but expect that there's going to be some things that are hot, some things that you can't live through without God. Expect it. Expect it, and you won't be so surprised. It won't be shock and awe because we expect it this morning. The furnace could represent so many things to us. You know, he said, and I'm just getting a few little snippets here. You fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know, the three Hebrew children had something to say to the king, didn't they? And they told him, they said, if it be so, if it be so, if you throw us into that furnace, and that furnace can be many things, folks. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. You know, in 3 and 18 of Daniel, it says, but if not, if he doesn't deliver us, if we die in that furnace, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods. I don't think they were being ugly. They were being firm in their convictions. Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And you know, after that happened and they were thrown into that furnace, the king, it says, was astonished. He looked at that and he said to his fellows, didn't we throw 3 in there? But I see 4. And one looks like the Son of God. How did he know that? How did this wicked king that didn't even believe in this God, supposedly, how did he know? I want to tell you something. The God of heaven has a way of making himself known. And it comes through people that are faithful. And my encouragement this morning is go home and be faithful. You know, the end of that story is, and the princes, governors, and captains, verse 27, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar spake. Something changed, folks. The Lord told us we're going to come before kings. We're going to come before rulers. We're going to come before judges. Now, maybe in this land, we've kind of got a pass so far. We're not going to forever get a pass, folks. It's not likely. Then Nebuchadnezzar, came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. And it goes on. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Folks, this morning, let's be faithful as we go home. Let's expect the fight. It's going to come. It's going to come. We can have the victory. And the best part is that in the end, the Lord's going to get glory out of it. And you know what? We ourselves are going to come forth more pure than before. It is the Word of God. Let's settle it in our hearts. I'm going to serve the Lord. Whatever happens in my life, whatever come what may, whether people like me or don't, Our big persecution today is somebody doesn't like me, or they say ugly things in the media about us or something. You know, we haven't had much of that, have we? Almost none. But folks, these people faced real things, and we may too. The Lord help us today. Oh, love the Lord, ye His saints. All ye His saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. That's Psalm 31. So this morning, be of good courage. Let the Lord strengthen our heart. Let us settle some things. Let us go home with a resolve. I have watched and realized. Before every meeting, and I'm going to say maybe every meeting, there is a wrath poured out from Satan against the work of God previous to every meeting at Guthrie. I'm just going to tell you. I'll tell you what else I have found out. I now recognize that as a good sign. Because I want to tell you something. That means God is fixing to work. We've got Satan really upset. That comforts me. And so now when I see it coming and I tell my family, folks, it's there every time. There is behind the scenes things that go on every year. Every meeting it goes on. Tell me, I don't know. I'll say I don't know why, but I do, because Satan is at the bottom of those things. I want to tell you, he sees the good things going on in your life. And don't think that he's not going to throw a fit. But let's be faithful. Let's recognize these things are signs that God is with us. These things the Lord uses to purify his church. The old saints of old in the first centuries, they said the blood of the saints was the seed of the gospel. And so when they came to martyrdom, when they came to paying with their blood, many of them gladly stepped up there. We have the records of those things, don't we? They stepped up there at the loss of all things, just like Job did. And more people got saved until 325 AD or 340, whatever it was. And along comes the Roman ruler at that time. I'm missing something I know so well. But Constantine. And you know what? He makes the official religion to be Christianity. Something had changed. Now that didn't really bless the people of God in very long. But I will tell you this morning, folks, let's don't be afraid to step up to the plate in our day and recognize what the devil is doing. I will not give an inch. If I know what God wants, I will not give an inch. Oh, the Lord bless us today. Encourage our hearts. Go home and fight the good fight of faith. Let's come back with fasting and prayer before this meeting next year. Let's come back ready to do business. And I will tell you, I believe we'll see some things happen as we did this year. Maybe more. You pray for me that I'll be faithful.